The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Some breaking news. The Trump-appointed U.S. Attorney for Delaware has reached a plea agreement with Hunter Biden.
These are two counts of failing to file tax returns in a timely fashion. Those are misdemeanors. He's also going to plead guilty to a charge of a firearm offense. This is the possession of a firearm while you are addicted to a controlled substance.
Is recommending probation and no fines.
And admit to the facts of a gun charge under terms that would likely keep him out of jail.
Sources close to Hunter Biden believe that this will end the more than five-year investigation that has dogged Hunter and his father, both been accused of corruption, as critics have focused on Hunter Biden's business deals in Ukraine and China.
Terms would likely keep him out of jail. The Department of Justice has been navigating a politically sensitive investigation involving Hunter Biden's business activities.
Trump Republicans have been trying to stir up conspiracy theories left and right. One after another have been disproven. Well, that show has just been exposed by Trump's own prosecutor.
Certainly Republicans have for literally years now accused Hunter Biden of basically everything under the sun, including that he's the mastermind behind the Biden crime family and corruption and all that. Charges we don't need to get into now because they were never brought. This is what came to be. About the gun and about some minor tax charges. And now we are seeing Hunter Biden take responsibility and plead guilty. Now, that's not going to stop Republicans, I venture to guess. Certainly, this is a day of closure for the president's family. We know per reporting how much this has weighed on the president of the United States, his son in legal jeopardy. So that is good news there. But this is simply not going to disappear as a political issue.
After 5 years of investigation, Diane, it appears that the Trump-appointed U.S. attorney in Delaware, David Weiss, has not found any criminal liability with Hunter Biden's activities in China, in Ukraine, on the laptop, things that have become almost Republican talking points on the campaign trail. Instead, the charges involve two relatively minor tax crimes for the Biden family, who've always said they love their son and want to help him rebuild their life. This is over.
But again, this is something that's been going on for about 5 years now, and the fact that it has finally come to a resolution is certainly a relief, we're told, to Hunter Biden, to his lawyers, and they tell me that they are pleased with this deal.
Really is disgusting on every level. This, and by the way, Donald Trump called this just a couple weeks ago. I'll give you the quote in just a bit. But here, 5 years, 5 years on two, what, tax evasion misdemeanors? And then the illegal possession of a firearm while addicted to crack. These are all details we knew back in 2019. It took him 5 years to then finally give Hunter Biden a little slap on the wrist. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We're coming to you live from Edmond, Oklahoma, our beautiful studios here in central Oklahoma. You can get to the live stream through our website, trumpetdaily.com, or you can go over to our Rumble channel, search for the Trumpet Daily, and you can watch every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. To send feedback to the show, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. I should mention first here that we had another successful performance of Celtic Throne just last evening in Providence, Rhode Island. More than 800 people assembled to, and from what my wife tells me, it was one of the most enthusiastic crowds they've ever performed in front of. So very exciting to hear that feedback. And later this week, hopefully we'll have some audio to play for you as well. Another show, though, is coming up in Roanoke, Virginia. That's on Thursday evening, and you can secure tickets for that performance at CelticThrone.com. Just go to the website, and you can see there's just a few remaining shows now for this particular summer tour, but go to CelticThrone.com and purchase your tickets for Roanoke or for the next show in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's coming up on Monday night as well. So Biden, Hunter Biden, is charged with two tax misdemeanors, the illegal possession of a firearm. And for all that the radical leftists say about gun control, you would think they'd be at least up in arms on this. But oh no, oh no, no jail time, probably no fines, just a little slap on the wrist, a plea deal. Meanwhile, if Donald Trump moves boxes, he goes to jail, at least they hope. He goes to jail for 100 years. 100 years. That's been the storyline for the past week. And then this morning, breaking news, Hunter Biden, 5 years. The prosecutor is a Trump appointee. So finally, we can put this to rest. Finally, we can close the book on the Hunter Biden laptop. What? There was some observer on the internet that said, in going through the laptop, there's at least 300 or 400 felonies right there on the computer. And it comes down to this: after 5 years, you think they'd let Donald Trump off this easily? Well, look at what they're doing over boxes, over rustling papers, over napkins, over pool leaks. As I say, Trump called this earlier this month. It says here, Trump predicts Hunter Biden will get charged with something small to make their strike on me look fair. You see, this in the minds of Joe Obama, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Merrick Garland, they had to do it this way because, well, we don't want to appear as if we're only going after Trump. Here, we're going after Hunter. Look, we just went after Hunter. Trump says here, this is from his Truth Social platform. It says, wow, the corrupt Biden DOJ just cleared up hundreds of years of criminal liability by giving Hunter Biden a mere traffic ticket. That's from earlier today, but going back to a few weeks ago, they are the party of disinformation. Trump said they'll hit Hunter with something small. This is from June 6th. They'll hit Hunter with something small to make their strike on me look fair. Nothing about these fascists is fair or honest. And then he says in all capitals, fight. Fight! You've got to fight the good fight against these communists. Otherwise, they just roll right over you. Here it is again. He was right. They're going to come up with something small on Hunter just to make their strike on me look fair. Well, okay, we're going after you on the boxes, but look, we entered this deal with Hunter. We investigated him for 5 years. We got him on tax evasion. We got him on the firearm, everything the public knew 4 years ago. Why did it take so long? Supposing you were going to just get him on these minor charges, why not bring it up before the 2020 election? Bill Barr? Bill Barr couldn't even get him on something minor. He just covered it up. And so here we get the next big craze among the talking heads on the media. Finally, we can close the book on this investigation into the Biden family. Meanwhile, they carry on with their attacks on Trump. You actually had a sitting congressman this morning go on and on about Russia collusion yet again. 7 years on, it's been thoroughly debunked. Listen to Congressman Ted Lieu earlier today, clip 10.
In addition, I do support legislation that requires disclosure on ads and social media and so on. So next time, for example, if you see a pro-Trump ad, it might just say at the bottom, paid for by the Kremlin.
A pro-Trump ad, and you have to put a disclaimer at the bottom of these ads. This is a man serving in the House of Representatives, and he says there ought to be a disclaimer that says paid for by the Kremlin. They're still on that. They're still on that. Forget about the Durham report or forget about the other investigations that have gone on for years and years. Then it continues with the Trump family. It'll be never ending. And of course, they're hopeful They're hopeful, these radicals, that it can finally be put to the end with Biden. We'll have to see about that. You still have Comer said this morning that this is not going to, it's certainly not going to slow down his investigation into the Biden crime family. And it shouldn't. We'll see if they get some teeth in that House committee, those Republicans. It's amazing. You think about, this is from the New York Post. It says here, Hunter Biden coordinated with executives at Ukrainian natural gas company Burisma Holdings to open an account at a corrupt Maltese bank, according to emails from the first son's abandoned laptop. So this prosecutor in Delaware, Bill Barr, all of them had the laptop. And here he said, why would an American citizen set up an account? He gets hired on the board for Burisma. It was a, you know, it was a handshake deal between Burisma and the big guy. The big guy gets the prosecutor fired. He threatens to withhold $1 billion in funding for Ukraine. Then the big guy and Hunter both get $5 million, a bribe wired to them. And evidently it's on audio tape. And then you hear this past week about Hunter setting up a bank account in Malta. And this bank in Malta gets shut down because there's so much money laundering going on there. But today, be assured that today the regime media tells you the investigation into the Bidens, it's finally over. It's finally over. It's finally come to an end. The Post says Hunter passed along income statements, passport information, and utility bills in 2016. This is the last year that Vice President Biden was in office. 2016 to Burisma board advisor who used the information to open an account with SATA Bank. It says Porharsky, in a separate email chain with Hunter, identified the financial institution as SATA Bank, and an assistant for the then second son later sent an accompanying tax identification number and signature. The information was sent to the owner of an auction house in Malta, Pierre Pillow, who was later charged in December 2020 with laundering millions of dollars or euros, millions of euros, according to the Times of Malta. It says here, SATA Bank closed in 2018 after Malta's financial intelligence analyst unit found gross deficiencies in the bank's ability to abide by money laundering and terrorism finance laws. I mean, this is a story that has it all, you know, a Mediterranean bank account, real estate transactions, auctions, international wire transfers, everything you want to know about corruption in the Biden crime family. But today the investigation comes to an end, say all the talking heads. Hopefully, wishful thinking, of course, finally we can put it to rest. Finally we can move on. It's amazing, these people. They're part of the cover-up. They used to, as I heard on some podcast just the other day, I mean, it used to be that the media, they would sort of rub their hands together when they could expose the cover-up. The cover-up's worse than the crime. But instead, the media, the regime media, they cover up the crimes. They cover up the crimes, and then they create them when it comes to Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. Think about putting grandma in jail because she goes through the Capitol on January 6th, okay, and she takes a selfie. Think about the pre-dawn raids on people that attended that protest, or going after Donald Trump to try to put him in prison for 100 years because he had some boxes, because he loved mementos. And then this with Hunter. All of the prostitutes, the narcotics, the firearms, the wire transfers. And it's all right there. It's all right there on a laptop. It took them 5 years to get him on these tax evasion misdemeanors. 5 years? Seriously? The system, as Donald Trump often says, the system is rigged. It's rigged. Listen to MSNBC as they talk about just how, for Biden anyway, it's pretty much smooth sailing now. I mean, especially with this behind him, but also just because, you know, he's the front runner on the Democrat side, and there's really nobody, as far as these guys are concerned, there's nobody really challenging him. This is clip 7.
You start with the base, maybe save money until you actually get a serious challenger, because you don't have one in the primary.
Well, you know, Joe Biden has the great luxury of not having a credible primary opponent.
And RFK is, I mean, he's polling about as strongly as DeSantis is. How come these people don't ever say, you know, Donald Trump has the luxury of really no serious candidate? I just played the clip for you yesterday where they said Chris Christie, of all people, is perfectly positioned. And then today, you Biden has the luxury of no real challenger in the field. Well, that's because they want to blot out RFK. They don't want to listen to him. He doesn't say the right things with respect to the vaccine and so on. I mean, you've got to worship Fauci. And if you don't do that, even if you're a Democrat, we'll just blot you out. If RFK is about where DeSantis is in relation to Trump, how could they say something so stupid? Because they're part of the problem. The regime media. This is from Lee Smith at Tablet. It says here, with the arraignment of Donald Trump on charges brought under the Espionage Act, America's cold civil war pitting blue cities against red regions has gotten considerably hotter. It says, here again, this is America under attack for you. You know, more and more, you wonder if some of these commentators aren't subscribing to the Trumpet or have read America Under Attack. In any event, it says, but that's inevitable when you manipulate the nation's laws to designate the leader of a movement representing one half of the country a traitor. That's what Ted Lieu just said this morning. If there's any pro-Trump advertisement, if there's any ad, you know, supporting Trump, you've got to put down below that it's paid for by Putin, by the Kremlin. These people are crazy. They've lost it. Satan's got quite the hold on their minds. It says here, the fact that Trump has been charged with crimes under the Espionage Act is evidence that the world's oldest democracy has fallen into the hands of a corrupt and pathological ruling faction that has turned federal law enforcement into a people's commissariat, serving a cohort of performative elites who still harbor the fantasy that a former American president is a Russian spy. You just heard it from Ted Lieu. They still harbor that fantasy. They go on and on about that fantasy. Here they've got all this hard evidence of criminal behavior on one laptop, and after 5 years, they come up with this. A plea deal that involves no jail time, no fines, nothing. Nothing. Two-tiered system of justice. You hear it all the time now. And people aren't fooled by this. Most people. I mean, some people are. I'll come to that a little bit later. Those that just want to hear smooth things. They want to hear that everything's going great. And there's certainly plenty of communists out there to tell them that everything's great, except for the bad orange man and his followers. And don't worry, we're going to put them in jail. But everything else is perfect. They harbor this fantasy that Donald Trump is a Russian spy, even after it's been disproven and debunked and everything else you can say about it. No evidence. No evidence whatsoever. And yet Ted Lieu, he wants to put a disclaimer on ads saying, brought to you by the Kremlin. These are criminals. These are criminals. They're deranged. They can't think logically. They're obsessed. They're like emotional, out-of-control children. This is not from The Onion. This is from Fox News. It says, sketch artist responds after critics rebuff him for portraying Trump as too young and good-looking. What? This is going on during the arraignment. Last week, there's an artist in there, since you can't get video footage of it. There's an artist in there drawing Donald Trump. There you can see the image. And people coming from the radical left are angry because he drew him in a way where Donald Trump looked too strong and young and energetic. It shows you how important it is, the narrative. It shows you how important it is for them to control the narrative. It says here, the artist who sketched former President Donald Trump's arraignment last week in Florida responded to criticisms that he portrayed Trump as younger and more physically fit than reality. I mean, think about this. They're up in arms over this, even as they tell you to your face that Joe Biden has never been stronger, physically or mentally. And then justify these crazy comments coming from a senile man. God save the Queen, he said in Connecticut last week. And I'll read to you what Axios says to try to defend that here in just a second. But continuing with this Fox News piece, it says, it's rare that I get any kind of feedback, sketch artist William Hennessy told the Boston Globe. Honestly, or Hennessy says, was one of three artists who captured Trump's appearance in court. It says the sketches came under criticism by some on social media who claimed that Hennessy portrayed Trump as younger than his age of 77 and thinner than reality. He looks too young. He looks too thin. He looks too strong. I mean, look, we've established that he's crazy and he's fat, by the way. He's also fat, okay? So how could you draw him like that? And meanwhile, these are the same people that would defend Joe Biden no matter what happens. I mean, he could trip and fall 15 times going up the stairwell to Air Force One. He's using the back one now because it's shorter, by the way. But anyway, he could fall 15 times on the stage. He can wander around aimlessly. He can say, God save the Queen. And they will defend him. And they will cover up for him. And they will lie to you. Axios says Biden's quirky aphorisms, that's what it is, I guess. It's just a quirk. His quirky aphorisms are sometimes weaponized by Republicans to insinuate the 80-year-old president is in mental decline. Axios rushes to his defense. He's not in mental decline. He's as strong as ever. But Biden has been using unique phrases for years, but even some of his aides aren't exactly sure what he means by them. In other words, it happens all the time. It's been happening for 50 years. This doesn't demonstrate mental decline. Far from it. He's never been better. It says, flashback, Biden also said God save the Queen in 2017. Okay, so he says it all the time. It says here, Axios asked several current and former Biden aides what the phrase meant. Several gave different answers, and some said they still aren't sure. As a proud Irishman whose ancestors probably weren't fans of the crown, Biden may use the phrase more as sarcasm. Oh, okay. Okay, thanks, Axios. He was just being sarcastic last week in Connecticut when he closed his remarks by saying, God save the Queen. This is Axios. Again, this is not The Onion. This is not the Babylon Bee. This is straight news, I guess. Donald Trump, as far as you can tell, you listen to him. He sat down with Bret Baier. And there's like a 3-4 year difference, I guess, in age between Trump and Biden. But what a difference there is when they're talking about issues. Skip ahead to the one where he talked about the most important issues facing America. This is clip 4.
What do you think is the most important issue facing the country right now?
So many, so important, but we have to straighten out the economy. We're going to do that through inflation. We have to straighten out our border where we have millions of people pouring in, and we're going to do that very quickly. I had the safest border in the history of our country, and now we have the most unsafe, I think, anywhere in the world. There's never been anything like it. We have to strengthen up our military, giving $85 billion to Afghanistan didn't exactly help, but we have to strengthen up our military, get the woke out of our military, and basically respect all over the world. We don't have it anymore. We had tremendous respect 3 years ago. We don't have respect anymore. They don't listen to us. They don't care about us. They just don't do what we want them to do and what they have to do, especially since we make life very good for many countries, and we have to get that respect back. And if we don't, we've got some big problems.
Andrew Weissman over at MSNBC said that after watching this interview that Trump looked unsure and scared. He looks scared. Well, I mean, you can see for yourself. What are these people thinking? Their narrative is so cemented into their deranged minds that they lie to your face even when you can see for yourself what actually happened, whether it's with Biden or Trump. Listen again to this exchange, clip 5.
What is the first thing you will do to turn this country around if you get elected?
Well, I do two simultaneously. I'd start drilling. We have the most liquid gold under our feet, oil than any other country, more than Saudi Arabia, more than Russia. And that's going to bring down the pressure on inflation. And we're going to have very little inflation very soon. We had virtually none when I was president. And second, I'd close up the border, because we can't have prisoners and people from mental institutions coming into our country. They're emptying out from all over the world, not just from the three or four countries we talk about, the neighboring countries all over the world. They're coming into our country at levels that nobody's ever seen before, Brett, and we have to stop it. And they are emptying out their prisons, and they're emptying out their mental institutions and insane asylums into the U.S., and we're not a dumping ground. I would stop it immediately and get a lot of the bad ones out. We'd get them out very quickly.
Sounds like he's ready to roll to me. He doesn't seem nervous or scared at all. Seems like he's got something he's ready to do on day one. Let's start drilling and let's secure the border. That's where I would start. You start drilling, you start producing your own energy, you bring energy costs down, then costs for everything goes down. Brett Baer, for his part, he's like the rhino in chief there at Fox News. It was hard to tell at some time or at some points in the exchanges if it was Brett Baer or Caitlin Collins at CNN. All these gotcha questions lined up to try to catch Trump, to try to get Trump. Listen to that. Now, let's try to be mature about this. I have to admit, I kind of snickered a bit when I first heard this clip earlier today, but I think there is a serious point that we can make following this. This is clip 1.
Okay. In 2016, you said that. I'm going to surround myself with only the best and most serious people.
Well, I did do that.
This time.
We had tremendous, look, we had the best economy we've ever had.
This time.
The world has ever seen.
Your Vice President Mike Pence is running against you.
Yeah.
Your Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, she's running against you. Your former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, said he's not supporting you. You mentioned National Security Advisor John Bolton. He's not supporting you either. You mentioned Attorney General Bill Barr, says you shouldn't be president again. Calls you the consummate narcissist and troubled man. You recently called and Barr a gutless pig. Your second defense secretary is not supporting you, called you irresponsible. This week, you and your White House called your White House chief of staff, John Kelly, weak and ineffective and born with a very small brain. You called your acting White House chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, a born loser. You called your first secretary of state, Rex Tillerson, dumb as a rock. And your first defense secretary, James Mattis, the world's most overrated general. You called your White House Press Secretary Kayleigh Kennedy milquetoast, and multiple times you've referred to your Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao as Mitch McConnell's China-loving wife. So, why did you hire all of them in the first place?
There you go. He got him. He got Trump. All the insults. I should have timed that question there. It went on and on and on. He did his research. All the insults that Donald Trump has hurled at even some of his own people that he appointed. How come you hired them then? That's the big gotcha moment for Brett Baer. But just step back for a moment and look at the past 7 years and consider, just think for a moment, what politician in Washington, D.C. has been insulted the most? Who has been insulted the most in the past 7 years? I'm not justifying a tit-for-tat response here. But Donald Trump has come under relentless assaults from all angles, from every party, from rhinos, from Republicans, from his own staff, people that worked for him, certainly from Democrats, definitely from the regime media. And can you think of one instance where a journalist, a reporter, has put that much time, that much research into listing, hey, so-and-so, You called Donald Trump that you called for him to be beheaded. You called him a dictator. You said he was a tyrant. You said he was an authoritarian. You said he should be impeached. And you mean Donald Trump calls someone a loser? And this is a huge exchange on a sit down amid, like I said earlier this week, amid all of the problems in the United States of America right now. How dare you say someone has a small brain? What? I mean, it's comical. If it wasn't so serious, you would just laugh out loud at the nonsense. But, you know, Brett Baer's got him. Yeah, they everyone can insult Donald Trump, and Donald Trump cannot insult anyone. These are the ground rules. They have been well established for years. And should he insult someone, we're going to set aside a sizable chunk of our interview to address that. Listen to Donald Trump standing his ground over the election steal from 2020, clip 3.
What do you say to that female independent suburban voter who feels that way to win her back?
First of all, I won in 2020 by a lot, okay? Let's get that straight. I won in 2020.
You know that this,
and if you look at all that's of not the tapes, if you look at shows. Everything that you want to look at, you take a look at Truth to Vote, where they have people stuffing the ballot boxes on tapes, or...
Mr. President,
let's go to recent. Well, wait a minute. Let's go to recent. FBI Twitter. Let's go to recent. The 51 agents. All corrupt stuff, Brett.
Understand about the all, Hunter Biden.
No, but that's
all
cheating
fair
on
things.
The election. But that's cheating on the election.
You lost the 2020 election.
You take a look at all of the stuffed ballots. You take a look at all of the things, including things like the 51 intelligence agents.
There were recounts in all of the swing states. There was not significant widespread.
We're trying to get recounts, real recounts, not just numbers of votes.
Widespread corruption. There was not a sense of that. There were lawsuits, more than 50 of them, by your lawyers, some in front of judges that you appointed.
Look at Wisconsin.
That came out with no evidence.
Wisconsin has practically admitted it was rigged. Other states are doing the same right now, and it's continuing.
There have been reviews of every potential case of voter fraud in 6 battleground states, and they found fewer than 475 cases.
You know why? Because they didn't look at the right things.
Okay. Are you going
to be counting? They were counting ballots, not the authenticity of the ballot. The ballots were fake ballots. This was a very rigged.
Are you going to?
He's standing his ground, Donald Trump, and Brett Baer is aggressively going after him. Ted Lieu and those people, they still say that Donald Trump stole the 2016 election. You think there's going to be any rhino Republican journalist that's going to go after Ted Lieu or Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama? They're going on about the Russians still. Brought to you by the Kremlin. Is there going to be any kind of pushback against that lie? Of course not. Because the communist left can say whatever they want. And they control. And notice how they make so much out of, well, some of these judges were appointed by you. I mean, the prosecutor in Delaware appointed by Trump. Judges that looked at the cases of voter fraud appointed by you, Donald Trump. They think, again, this is a big gotcha. They think that if Donald Trump appointed them, and then the ones he appoints actually rule against him, or they come out and criticize him like so many that left his administration, they think that that proves that the problem is Trump. It actually shows just how bitter the affliction is, as 2 Kings chapter 14 says. That's fleshed out in America Under Attack, that prophecy. There's no helper. There's no helper. Now, you can be sure that the next time around, when Donald Trump's in there, he is probably going to be quite a bit more careful about who he appoints and selects. But as he brought out even last night, he said, I didn't play it for you, but he said to Brett Baer, look, for all of these people you mentioned, there were 10 others that were very loyal. For every single one of these critics, there were 10 that really did get behind the MAGA agenda. And look at what we accomplished in 3 years before the scamdemic. Look at what we accomplished. There's nobody else out there defending him or even promoting what he was there doing for 3 years that brought a lot of success and prosperity and peace and security to the United States of America. I mean, we're a nation in decline. There's no getting around that. But this is a man who puts America first. And that, and as I played for you earlier this week, that's why they attack him. As he always says, they're not just coming after me, they're coming after you. I'm just standing in the way. It really is revealing. I think this is probably my favorite part of the interview last night, where he told Bret Baier about Fox's declining ratings. He didn't bring up Tucker, but of course it's been plummeting since they fired Tucker. This is clip two.
More independent voters watch Fox News than any other TV source.
A lot less than used to watch it.
They do watch. Those voters usually...
A lot less, Brett.
Not like they used to. Not like you have lost a lot of viewers. He's one of the few men. He's one of the few leaders that would just put it right back at him. Look at what you've done to yourself. Look at what your network has done. Your network is committing suicide. They're being run by the woke women, as Tucker said in his video last week. Fox News has a website or a page on their website, America Together, Celebrating Diversity and LGBTQ Pride. And it includes a story or a video about a young girl whose parents have psychologically abused her into thinking that she's a boy. And Fox News is celebrating this. That's right, America Together. We want to put this out there because this is the message that brings America together. It's exactly the opposite, as I covered last week. It's destroying the family. It's destroying the foundation for our country, for our people. Here, Fox is imploding within, as I've covered earlier this week and last week as well. The producer, as Tucker brought out, that put up the wannabe dictator Chiron, he's gone immediately. I mean, you got to celebrate LGBTQ now. Celebrate that. And if you say anything critical of Joe Biden, now Trump, you can call him anything. You can insult him with any epithet, anything you want to say. This is from the Western Journal. Tucker Carlson's broadcast team is growing at the expense of Fox News. According to his biographer, in a series of tweets, Chadwick Moore claimed that multiple Fox News employees have jumped ship after seeking out Carlson. My sources have told me 9 former Tucker Carlson Tonight staffers have left Fox News to join Tucker on his next venture. Says these are others who are waiting to leave as soon as, or rather, there are others who are waiting to leave as soon as a role opens up for them with Tucker. Each of the 9 approached Tucker, not the other way around. So these are some earth-shaking developments in cable news. Cable news, which Tucker Carlson says is a dying industry. Tucker is new media, as is Twitter, now with Elon Musk at the helm. Donald Trump, certainly, with Truth Social and the videos he puts out. I mean, this is new media that most people rely upon. I mean, there still is a lot to be said for the power that the regime media has in trying to establish false narratives. But that said, so many people are seeing through it. They see the Hunter Biden news come out today. They see how gleeful the Joe Scarborough people are. And they know this is a travesty of injustice, whether you look at it in the direction of Hunter or in the direction of Donald Trump. When we come back, we'll conclude with a section from Isaiah 30 about those that really do prefer deceit and delusion over the truth, because the truth hurts. They don't want the truth. You can look at 2 Timothy 4, you can look at Isaiah 30, as we'll examine when we come back. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends, and give us the advance news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com. Trumpet Daily.
But the country doesn't even care that they're getting lied to. Being lied to feels better. Just sit back. Don't question anything. Lay back. Get comfortable. We're just going to make this election nice and easy. The author of Brave New World, Audrey Huxley, predicted this is what we were going to experience in the United States at some point. Watch.
I think what is going to happen in the future is the dictators will find, as the old saying goes, that you can do everything with bayonets except sit on them. That if you want to preserve your power indefinitely, you have to get the consent of the ruled. And this they will do, partly by drugs, partly by these new techniques of propaganda. They will do it by bypassing the sort of rational side of man and appealing to his subconscious and his deeper emotions and his physiology even, and so making him actually love his slavery.
Making him love his slavery. Are we already here? They told us to work from home. Doctors are handing out painkillers like this. Cannabis is legal. Nobody cooks. We order seamless. We watch Amazon Prime. Don't question anything. That's offensive. Don't rock the boat. We'll drain the reserves before each election, keep the gas prices low. Everything's Russia's fault. Just sit back and play on your iPhone. We're going to arrest the good guys while the bad guys run the country?
It's easier. Being lied to is easier to just go along with the mob, go along with the crowd. That's Jesse Waters from his show last evening. Of course, there's quite a few prophecies, as I said before the break, that talk about this very condition that we're seeing all around us. People just lost in their devices. People that are just filling their minds with entertainment, with just filth. I'll read, it's not in my notes, but I'll set up Isaiah 30 by looking at 2 Timothy 4 here to begin with. Paul, this is his final epistle. He's writing to his top assistant, Timothy, and he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." They just want to hear smooth things. They just want to be told that everything's going fantastic, that everything's going to work out. We're coming up to some trying times for the people of Manasseh, for the people of Ephraim, for the people of Judah. You can know where we are in Bible prophecy. We've got the United States and Britain in prophecy that you can request from our operators. There's no cost, no obligation. The 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. Verse 4 says, this is 2 Timothy 4, it says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." They'll turn away from the truth, and they'll embrace fables, so many of them. Now, we often point out how that so much of this evil, so many of the lies and the deception, so much of that is being exposed. You can get to the truth if you want it, but for so many people, they just don't want it. They turn away from the truth. Think about some of those prophecies that speak of the truth failing. That's Isaiah 59 and verse 15. In Daniel 8, it says the truth is cast to the ground. They turn away from it. Many people, they prefer fables. Now let's read Isaiah 30, a few verses in this chapter. It says here, Isaiah 30 and verse 1, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Eternal, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." We really do need to seek counsel from God, to not look to men. Jeremiah 17 says it's a curse if you do so. I mean, Jeremiah 17 tells you about the wickedness, the evil of the human heart. But before verse 9, it says in verse 5, don't put your trust or your faith in man. Look to God. Seek God's counsel. Otherwise, you're going to be deceived like so many others. You're going to just want to go along with the smooth talk. There's plenty of that around. Verse 2 says that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. It says, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. See, even in God's church, you see so many of God's people in these last days that they've just returned to Egypt like so many of the ancient Israelites wanted to do. They got out there for a few days. They met up with some adversity, some hard truths, and they just wanted to go back into slavery. They wanted to go back into captivity. It's easier to go along with the mob. It's easier to just accept the lies and play along. It says down in verse 8, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. God told the prophet here to write this prophecy down. He wanted it to be preserved to our time or for our time today. Verse 9 says that here's the prophecy, here's the warning, here's the correction, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Eternal, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, the teachers in other words, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. People want to be deceived. A lot of people fall into this category. I mean, it's important that we understand the significance of this prophesied condition. This is why there's so many lies, because people get away with it. Look, they had Hunter's laptop for 5 years. And then what happens? They come out and say, everything's fine. There's no criminal behavior here. There's no criminal behavior. And they're getting Donald Trump on 37 counts, 37 felonies. 37 criminal acts for some papers and napkins and mementos that he took with him to Mar-a-Lago. People prefer to live a lie. It's just easier to go along. I mean, to stand up to this onslaught, you've got to have some courage. You've got to have some fight. This is from Winston Churchill. He wrote this in 1932, the wilderness years. He saw what was coming, what was forming, what was developing in the heart of Europe. But nobody else wanted to proclaim the truth except Churchill. And so they sent him into the wilderness. Let's just blot out his voice and give everyone smooth things. Churchill said, I cannot recall, and keep in mind he's writing this almost 100 years ago, 91 years ago? He says, I can't recall at any time when the gap between the kind of words which statesmen used and what was actually happening in many countries was so great as it is now. The habit of saying smooth things and uttering pious platitudes and sentiments to gain applause without relation to the underlying facts is more pronounced now than it has ever been in my experience. Well, I'd have to say it's even more pronounced today than it was in 1932. It was bad then. I mean, my father goes through that in the Watchmen booklet about that time period and just how the corrupt media were complicit in this kind of blindness. Just give them smooth things. Don't sound the alarm. Don't sound the warning bells. Just say, give the, what did he say? The nice, pious platitudes that has no basis in facts at all. Verse 11, this is Isaiah 59. It says, Isaiah 30. It says, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. You see, these are God's servants here. They're turning away from the truth. They're turning away from the Holy One of Israel. They're telling God, you know, get out of our way. You know, we'll proceed. We'll get this done. We've got this. We've got enough strength ourselves. We can trust in ourselves. This is what my father says in the Churchill booklet. It's Winston S. Churchill, The Watchman. If you don't have that little booklet, again, there's no cost or obligation, but you can call our operators and order a free copy. It says, Isaiah 30 and verse 11, this is my father writing, this verse ought to shock any person who believes the Bible. Here's a group of people among whom the Holy One of Israel dwelled, and now they want God to stop leading them. They knew the great God, and then they rejected him. This is the greatest possible catastrophe. They knew the great God. I've talked to a few students here recently as we've gone through counseling sessions in preparation for baptism, and I've told them just how important it is for them to be grounded in the truth of God and how refreshing it is when you study the Bible, any section of the Bible, where you see just how emphatic God is on any given subject. I mean, he is not one to beat around the bush or to get off into the gray areas. One thing you can say about our Maker is that, you know, if you study the Bible, most people don't, I understand, but if you study the Bible, you will learn where he stands on any given subject. There are laws, there are standards that God sets for us. There are commands that he gives to us. And if we don't want to go along and obey them, then we're going to suffer as a result. We're going to bring curses into our lives. Cause and effect. It's there in Deuteronomy. When Moses was addressing the Israelites of old, you see it all through the Bible, Old Testament and New. If you obey, you will be blessed. If you disobey, you will be cursed. Verse 12, it says, wherefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly at an instant. That's what's coming. Again, U.S. and Britain in prophecy. That's your go-to source for Bible prophecy, at least the sweeping overview of Bible prophecy. But what Isaiah is saying here is that the punishment coming upon our nations, it's going to come suddenly. We're really heading for a collapse of epic proportions, a crash. That's why we need to turn to God, to look to God for salvation, for protection, for encouragement. Well, we've run out of time on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again next time.